We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll kick it off here if we can. I want to welcome everyone for being here today. I'm joined by my colleague and good friend, the leader of the Assembly Republicans, Assemblyman Barclay. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your partnership. And I want to thank all of my colleagues who are behind me. There are too many to name them all. You're going to be hearing from some of them, some of whom have been very outspoken on this issue going back almost a year. People behind me are not Johnny-come-latelys to this issue. Many of them have been speaking about it before it was covered the way it is now nationally. They were speaking about the need for an investigation. They were speaking about the need for accountability. And everybody here has been speaking about rescinding the governor's powers because that really has nothing to do with this latest scandal. Those should have been rescinded anyways. Those should have been rescinded because the legislature was elected to do a job that it really wasn't and hasn't been doing. But again, I want to thank all my colleagues who are here. I am glad to see last week that our calls for a federal investigation have begun. And I would like to go back, just for a context, to May 7th, 2020. That was the first day that the Senate Republican Conference called for independent investigation into the state's COVID-19 response in nursing homes, and to create regionally based specialty long-term care facilities for COVID-19 positive nursing home residents. May 7th, 2020. Here we are today, February 23rd, 2021, and still the majority of the Senate and the Assembly have failed to act. Still, they have failed to heed that call. And only now, when the pressure is mounting, when bullying calls are being made, when this is national news, now they're thinking about doing something. But the people behind me and next to me have been calling for that for some time. Again, I'm glad to see that there's a Department of Justice investigation going on, but the reason we're here today is that does not absolve the legislature from doing its job. From doing the job we were elected to do, which is to provide oversight and hold the executive accountable. Just last week, 14 members the Senate Democrat majority, and I know some of the Assembly majority as well, but 14 senators in the Democrat majority said they would support the immediate rescinding of the governor's emergency powers. Now, for those who are keeping score at home, 14 plus 20 is 34, which is two more than it takes to pass something in the New York State Senate. We have votes to spare. They sent a letter, and today we're going to find out just how serious they were. Because I'm going to be introducing Senator Biagi's bill as a hostile amendment on the floor today for a straight-up vote. If they are serious, we can do it today. We don't need to wait. We don't need to create some political commission. And you've all covered Albany for long enough. How many commissions have we ever created, have ever done anything they were created to do? None. This is CYA, this is politics, that's it. Creating a partisan, one-party commission with not one Republican voting member on it. Give me a break. We need the immediate rescinding of those powers, and we intend to see just who's serious about that today in the Senate and in the Assembly. I'd also like to note that to date, the legislature, not one subpoena has been issued to the governor. on this issue. Senator Skoufis shot down Senator O'Meara, turned off his microphone, turned off an elected senator's microphone during a hearing. He made a motion for a subpoena. Senator Cirino could not be here today. Senator Cirino did the same to the aging committee. And of course, it was ruled out of order by Senator May. And it's important because Senator May and Senator Skoufis were in the top secret meeting with the governor and his folks a week and a half ago. And of course, when they emerged from that meeting, they said nothing about what was said until it was in the New York Post. And I want to read a quote from the governor. He said, find it, here it is. He admitted last week when he was on camera pushing the blame of the Democratic senators, if they really wanted the information on nursing homes, he said, I understand some people feel that way, but then why didn't you send a demand letter? Why didn't you send a subpoena? If you really wanted it, that's what you would have done. That might be the only true statement we heard from the governor last week, but I promise you, that is the truth. That is the truth. So we are here today, we're going to be introducing the Senator Biagi from the Senate. I know my colleague in the Assembly is going to do the same. We are glad that there's a federal investigation. There should be an immediate rescinding of the governor's powers. Not because of this. Not because of this. This should have been done months ago. The Senate Republicans have introduced the resolution to rescind his powers 14 times this year alone, twice last year, 16 times. Every single one of those times, it was voted down by every single Democratic senator. We'll see what happens today. But at this time, I want to call up my colleague in the Assembly, a good friend, someone who's been out front on this issue, and that is Leader Will Barkley.
Thank you very much, Leader Ort. Good afternoon to everybody. I do want to thank Leader Ort for the great leadership he provided in the Senate, but throughout the state on this issue and so many other issues. I also want to recognize Mary Beth Walsh, Assemblywoman Mary Beth Walsh, who's going to say a few words for us. And we also have our pro tem in the Assembly, Andy Goodell, who's also going to say a few words on this issue. But most of all, I want to thank the Republican Assembly Conference for pushing for this. As the leader said, this is not a new issue for us. The Assembly Republicans, along with the Senate Republicans, have been pushing for this issue since late spring. And some people say, why now? Why are you pushing it right now? And I'd say this, better late than never. Better late than never. You know, we ended up granting these executive powers to the governor for two reasons. One, we thought the governor could act faster, and we thought he could do it in the matter of public health. He could act fast in the matter of public health. Well, certainly speed. We didn't know at that time when the legislature was even going to be able to convene. Since that time, we've been holding a session. We can act fast if need be in the state legislature. So that reason for giving the executive powers is no longer there. Secondly, public health. And you look at the governor's record on public health, it's not that good. It's not that great, tragically. You know, New York State, we're number two in the total amount of COVID deaths in the country, just behind California. We have 46,267 tragic COVID deaths. California, which almost twice as much population that we have in New York State, is at 49,344. Take it another way, per capita, based on deaths per 100,000, New York's number two in the nation in per capita deaths because of COVID. Now, I don't bring these up just to point out some, you know, be morbid about it. It's really a tragedy in New York State. But it does go to the governor's leadership and whether he was really providing leadership when it comes to public health. And then we talk about what he's offered, the executive orders that he's signed. I think there's some real good questions about those. We hear the governor say time and time again, follow the science. I question whether he's following the science. And I mentioned this a lot about indoor dining. Let's take indoor dining, something that he restricted on a statewide level of 50%, and then restricted in New York City at 25% when you couldn't start off, couldn't do it, then 25%. Well, now we have these contract tracers out there. They know how COVID's being spread. It turns out only 1.4% of people are getting COVID because of transmission rates because of indoor dining. And then just this week, it goes from 25 to 35%. Can anyone tell me what the science is behind that? And there's a lot of other things. How about when we start off with this pandemic? when the governor allowed shopping in big box stores, but didn't allow shopping at mom and pop stores. Is that based on science? Is that following the science? And it goes on and on. Obviously, we got graduations, we have curfews, religious services, you name it, one order after another. And then recently, as you all saw probably last week or 2 weeks ago, the New York Times did a story on a lot of people resigning from the Department of Health. And they were resigning because they often found out about these initiatives put out by the governor during a press conference, and they were told, make it fit the governor's narrative. This isn't following the science. This is arbitrarily making decisions that might be best for the governor, but I'm not sure they're best for the people in New York State. So we strongly feel, just like Senator Orr, we're going to do a hostile in our house to try to get our colleagues on the record. Hopefully it passes in the Senate, and that would be a great lead for the Assembly. But this is the time. We don't need to wait any longer. This is the time to take away those executive powers from the governor. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Leader. I just want to add, you know, the nine folks that resigned from the Department of Health, the doctor who in the meeting, in the transcript, Secretary DeRosa said was a close advisor to the governor, and they spoke many times. That doctor went on a news program and said they'd spoken once for 5 minutes. That's the close personal advisor. The only science that they're following is political science. So at this point, I'm going to bring up someone who's been a very outspoken advocate on this issue, a strong leader in our conference, and that is Senator Pam Helmer.
Thank you, Leader Ort. Thank you, Leader Barkley. Good afternoon, everyone. My message today is, it's very simple. Let's finally get this done. As you heard, it's been more than a month since the Attorney General's report, a report that confirmed for lawmakers on both sides of the aisle that it's long past time to end the governor's emergency powers. It's been almost a year since the governor was granted these emergency powers. The Senate Republicans have brought my bill to end these powers to the floor 14 times. 14 times since just January 11th. And 14 times it was rejected by the Senate majority members. Not one of them stood up and voted for it. This could have been done a long time ago. But honestly, this isn't about my bill, or a Republican bill, or a Democrat bill. This is about getting the job done. This is about getting back to the work our constituents elected us to do. This is about ensuring that their voices are heard in the critical decisions that are being made. We as lawmakers, we absolutely must have a say in these decisions, whether it concerns the nursing homes, whether it concerns getting our kids back to school full time, or our restaurants and small businesses. The legislature must help lead our state's recovery. And guess what? We are ready to do that. We're here to solve real problems of real people. I'll work just like the people behind me with any of my colleagues, Democrat or Republican, to get this done. Just want to mention that I stand before you right now, not only as a senator, but as someone who recently lost two loved ones, two, living in nursing homes. The cause of death on my last loved one, failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. For months, I have pushed the state to amend its guidelines on nursing home visitation. On Friday, the governor said the Department of Health would finally be updating its guidance. Now, don't get me wrong, I am extremely thankful. I hope that this happens as quickly as possible. We need to reunite families with their loved ones. But I'm going to be honest, for families like mine, and for the constituents that I hear from, the families of those 15,000 people who have lost their lives in nursing homes who could reunite, it's too late. It's too late. And I have to wonder, could we have saved the lives of people? Could we have at the very least, reunited families and loved ones if the legislature had a say in these decisions that are being made? Now, I want to thank all of the media who are here and the media who have been dogged in their pursuit of the truth in this nursing home crisis. We need answers and accountability. We need you to keep pushing. The legislature and the executive branches need to work together, not the executive branch alone. I'm again calling on my colleagues in the majority to act today. As Leader Ort said, they will have the opportunity to make that vote to repeal the governor's powers, to take back our authorities. We need to end the governor's extraordinary powers and restore the lawful role of the legislature. Let's finally get it done today. Thank you, Leader.
Thanks. Next up, we're going to hear from Assemblywoman Mary Beth Walsh.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to thank Leader Ort and Leader Barkley for inviting me to say a few words to you today. And I'm going to try not to be repetitive, although it is interesting, isn't it, that I would venture to guess that if you spoke with almost anybody behind me, we would all be making essentially the same points as have already been made. You know, and at least as far as the Assembly is concerned, each and every one of the 150 members represents about 130,000 people, 130,000 constituents. And over the past almost year, those constituents have not had a voice from their legislator in the Assembly chamber. You know, we were hastily briefed, I would say, the Senate and Assembly minorities were hastily briefed right before the vote came up on the $40 million of immediate COVID relief that was tied to the increase in the emergency powers granted to the governor. And after that hasty briefing, we all went in and we voted our conscience, we voted our districts, we did what we thought we needed to do in that past. After that, I have to say that I got more information from the governor's daily press briefings as any one of my constituents did. I had no special information that was being conveyed to me. I was forced to basically advocate by letter writing, and I wrote them. And we all wrote letters to the governor constantly asking about all of these arbitrary rules that were being issued. Well, why are you doing it this way? Why can't you consider opening this? All of the hundreds and thousands of unemployment claims that we all worked on. So it wasn't like we weren't working, but we weren't working in the chamber. We weren't working to do the work of legislators as co-equal, as a co-equal branch of government. And that's really what's been missing. So today, as we mark nationally a very grim milestone of 500,000 deths, and we have to very soberly, seriously, think about that, about the loss of life. We also need to move forward. We need to carve a path forward. And I think the most important thing to do right now is to get back to the regular business and functioning of this government. We haven't had it for almost a year. And I think that we're ready to do it. You know, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've shown a decrease in COVID in our state, in our country. And we are starting a process of vaccination. We are moving in a positive direction. And I think that although, you know, there was support for the governor to receive extraordinary powers at the beginning of this pandemic, that time has long since passed. So I'm here today to join with my colleagues, both in the Assembly and the Senate, to say, enough. It's time. It's past time. And it's not political. It's just doing our jobs as legislators for the people who put us here. Thank you.
Next up, I'll introduce a friend and a colleague of mine, someone who's taken a few minutes out of his incredibly busy schedule of budget hearings, which he will continue, no doubt, tomorrow and throughout this week and throughout the next several weeks. And that is the ranker on the Finance Committee, Senator Tom O'Meara.
Thank you, Leader Ort, Leader Barkey, members of the Republican conferences of the Senate and the Assembly. It's an honor to have been asked to speak here today. You know, one of the most common questions that I've gotten, why end the emergency powers? What would you do differently? Well, there's a lot of things we would do differently, and I'd be happy to get into every one of those in detail. But most importantly, we would have had an open and honest exchange of ideas between the executive and the legislature. That has not taken place. One of the most galling aspects of that secret meeting 2 weeks ago was Melissa DeRosa pleading, begging, "We're sorry. We'll communicate better. We'll work with you more." They didn't cooperate with the legislature in any way, shape, or form for 11 months now. While covering up information, while stonewalling good government groups, FOIL requests, while thwarting legislative oversight, and the majority's allowed it to continue longer, not issuing subpoenas. Subpoenas that I demanded in committee and demanded openly and publicly for a long time, as many of my colleagues here did. Now, we knew, as soon as we learned of the March 25th order, that that sounded very problematic. The very next day, March 26th, the American Medical Directors Association, Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Medicine, came out with a scathing statement about just how dangerous and how poorly that was going to work towards protecting seniors in our nursing homes, that it was not based on sound medicine or scientific principles, that the governor's office ignored that. Ignored that while in excess of 9,000 COVID-positive patients were transferred from our hospitals into our nursing homes. While the Javits Center sat empty, while the USS Comfort sat empty, while Samaritan's Purse Field Hospital in Central Park sat empty, and another half dozen or so of hospitals the governor says that they expanded to take up these excess patients in hospitals. We wasted valuable time. And that time was wasted because the executive did not communicate with the legislature. He stonewalled us on information. He has potentially obstructed justice with the Department of Justice federally. He has coerced or extorted at least one member of the legislature that we know of. Most importantly, is held back information from this legislature for 11 months. That needs to stop today. Should have stopped 9 months ago, 10 months ago. Today needs to be the day. There are no more excuses. The Democrats bought themselves another 10 days because we were on break. There is no reason at all a special legislative session could not and should not have been called to end the governor's emergency powers before today. But we're here to say we're going to do it today. Thank you very much.
Lastly, we'll hear from the floor leader in the Assembly, an articulate defender of his conference's position, and someone who I know from Western New York, and that is Assemblyman Andy Goodell.
Compliance with Governor Cuomo's executive order. Shortly after returning from Florida visiting my grandkids, I had a COVID test last night, and I am safe to talk to you today. Therein ends my compliments to the governor. We have 213 legislators that were elected around the state to represent our constituents. for the past several months, New York State has not operated with a legislative system and with checks and balances, but rather we have operated with one person dictating every aspect of our response to COVID. Our Constitution doesn't envision a monarch or a dictator. It envisions a system of checks and balances because it reflects the fact that each one of us know our own district better than any one person sitting in New York City or in Albany. We were elected to represent our constituents. We were not elected to delegate all of our responsibility to the governor to act as he pleases. For too long, during our state's greatest hour of need, the legislature has not been involved in sharing its knowledge and its wisdom on the best way to address this crisis. This is really not about politics. It's really about people. It's about the thousands of people who are exposed to COVID in our nursing homes and hundreds of victims. It's about the thousands and thousands of small businesses that were shut down across the state by executive fiat with no flexibility or discretion. Businesses in my district were shut down, and thousands of people were laid off when we didn't have a single confirmed case. The governor shut down SUNY Fredonia in my county when there wasn't a single confirmed case and sent the kids home to Long Island, to New York City, to the epicenter. In the Assembly, we have supported the efforts in the Senate as well, and we have introduced legislation. And the legislation says, Governor, after 30 days, you need to call the legislature back in session, and we need to sign off on what you're doing. And Governor, these executive orders have to be county by county. And Governor, you've got to provide basic due process so that when a business is shut down, they can ask, why me? And twice, our Democrat colleagues have voted to refuse to consider the legislation. I am joining and asking my Democrat colleagues to put the interest of the people first. Don't put politics first, put the interests of people first. Put your constituents first. Step up to the plate, exercise your legislative responsibilities, and let's move forward with a democratically formed government with checks and balances, focusing on the future of New York State. Thank you.
Okay, I want to thank my colleagues who have spoken here today very eloquently. I want to thank Leader Barclay. And just to close,
we've said a couple of times here, Joe, about politics. Like the other side, I think on a couple of occasions, has tried to, the governor, this is just politics. Keep in mind, we are calling for the rescinding of the governor's powers and the reestablishing of the legislature, the political branch of government. The legislature is controlled by the Democrats. This is not a partisan issue. This is the belief in our conference that the legislature has an important role to play. And the governor has shown a gross disrespect when he lies, when he withholds information. And he's not disrespecting just the people here. It's disrespectful to the people that we were elected to serve. That's who is the real aggrieved party here. The people that we all work for on Long Island, in the North Country, Western New York, Central New York, all across New York State. That's who's been silenced. That's who's been lied to. That's who deserves answers. And they want the people that they sent here to do their job to do their job. And today, we have an opportunity to do just that. So with that, I want to thank all my colleagues, and we'll certainly thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!